We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's time for the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Get insight into your favorite West Virginia University teams and hear exclusive interviews. The Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Have a question or comment? Call or text us at 304-314-4161 or email us at wvumsn@gmail.com. Now let's go live inside our MSN studios. Here's your host of the Mountaineer Insider, Dan Zangrilli.
We need to start winning some games, right? I mean, like, that's why you prepare. We put a lot of time in this building to go out and put a product out of there that gives us an opportunity to win. And I don't think anybody's pleased. We need to have a sense of urgency all the time, you know. And so, is it heightened? I don't know if that's the case. I just know that we need to play better, you know. And so we need to go out and we got one game this week, and then we'll move through the schedule. We play really good people from here on out. And we need to play better than we did against Baylor. You know, that's the whole thing in my mind.
All right, so the bye week is over, and here we are, TCU week. Thanks for being with us on the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Second half of the season about to get underway at Carter Stadium on Saturday night. It's a 7:30 kickoff and Mountaineer Sports Network radio airtime at 4 p.m. We welcome you into the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Thanks so much for being with us. I'm Dan Zangrilli. Hey, folks, we remind you that college goes by fast, but GoPuff delivers faster. They are the presenting sponsor of the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. GoPuff delivers anything that you need, 30 minutes or less, snacks, drinks, any other game day essentials, burgers, buns, you name it. They've got it. GoPuff. It was made for college students by college students, so get what you need when you need it. And you can use the $10 off coupon for your first couple of orders if you enter the code VARSITY. So that's what you get for being a Mountaineer Sports Network podcast friend, VARSITY, V-A-R-S-I-T-Y. All right, bye week came at a good time, right? They always do. In particular, Jordan Leslie, West Virginia's defensive coordinator, saying this as to how West Virginia going into that bye after the tough one against Baylor, West Virginia just absolutely mentally cooked.
Anytime you play six in a row and five of those six are down to really 12 points, That's mentally taxing on your players because they do put so much into it, and it can go either way at any point in the game, and it doesn't go their way. And so that's something that, you know, that really kind of wore us down a little bit.
All right. That makes sense based on everything that we've seen heading into this bye week. 100% it makes sense. Well, tough task coming up in Fort Worth. Max Duggan and the TCU Horned Frogs, all of a sudden, they are as close to a juggernaut, I think, that we are going to see maybe outside of Oklahoma. I know Baylor did a number on us offensively, but Duggan and company, he rolled up, by the way, 391 yards of offense, and now he's throwing the ball with great effectiveness. We've always known Max Duggan, and it seems like he's been here, by the way, for 8 years, to be a guy that could beat you with his feet. Now, all of a sudden, he's a dual threat guy. So how do you try to stop this TCU explosive offense? The overall philosophy from Jordan Leslie is this.
Anytime you face an explosive offense, you're trying to protect the goal line. You can't protect the uprights all the time. They're explosive. They're going to make some plays. And what you hope to, and what where Baylor, where we really didn't, was he didn't protect the goal line. Because that's 6 points, 7 points, how you're going to look at it, versus three. And if we can just continuously, you know, put the game in the hands of a kicker, you know, I've always liked, not necessarily this team, but just in my career, you know, that's where you like your odds.
All right, so that's defensively. How about offensively for West Virginia? Jared Parker asked point blank, how do we run the football with better effectiveness? Because those running wall issues that we seem to be breaking through, maybe against Virginia Tech in particular, where we were able to move the ball, I think, between the tackles with great effectiveness, even effectively on the road at Oklahoma in the second half against Texas Tech, those issues, oh, they would manifest themselves as we saw in Waco a week ago. Here's Jared Parker.
There is no secret. Like, how do we get better? We certainly got to move people better, right? We've got to make sure our footwork and hand placement are sound. Our run reads at running back are better. Our perimeter blocking is sound. Like, it really is, and I'm not dodging the question. It's just there's not just one thing. You know, there's things we've done better up front. There's things we're doing better in areas. But until we tie it all together and own it as a staff and as players to make sure it stays that way and we're not just saying if. When you're close or you don't finish a game and things, everybody, I think it's a scary thing to say, well, if. And, well, if don't matter. We've got to get it done. And I think that tying our offensive line together with our running back, breeding confidence, and making sure we're not saying if we would have finished here, if we would have made this read, like it all adds up and compounds itself. And before you know it, you're telling a tale of maybes and ifs, and we just can't.
Can't do it, or else you're going to be 2-5, and that's the truth of the matter. So with that, now that we've got, I guess, the big three bullet points here from Neil Brown, Jordan Leslie, and Jared Parker out of the way, I do want to spend a lot of time on the podcast here today, tonight, however you're listening, wherever you're listening, on hoops, right? Big 12 Media Days this week at Kansas City for both the women and the men. So we're going to sit down with one-on-one interviews with both Coach Carey and Bob Huggins. So looking forward to both conversations here as we can kind of turn our attention here to the hardwood, because coming up next week, there are exhibitions for the men against Akron next Friday on the 29th at the WVU Coliseum, and for the ladies the night before, Thursday evening, they will take on West Virginia Tech. Looking forward to Tech coming up here from Beckley. And we'll officially get the basketball season underway. We're going to carry both games on the radio. Looking forward to what both teams have. Both teams should be able to score the basketball with a great deal of effectiveness. So that's going to be fun to see how these athletic and deep teams, both on the men's and women's front, fair. The men, they were picked fourth in the preseason poll, or fifth, I beg your pardon. The ladies were picked fourth. The men, I guess slighted. They did receive some votes for the AP Top 25. I thought they might have a puncher's chance to sneak in there. The women, however, did, coming in at number 19 in the preseason Associated Press 21-22 basketball polls. So exciting seasons on the horizon. So let's get to it. A conversation with Bob Huggins and Mike Carey. We'll first start with the Bear.
So finally, you get to line up against somebody with a different uniform, and you've got two of those coming up here before it goes for real. What are you hoping to find out about your team here before it does go for real?
Well, we got 15 guys right now, you know, because of the COVID situation. So it's rough to get everybody involved as much as you want to get them involved. And hopefully with the scrimmages coming up, we can get guys involved. We're gonna play a game, and then we're gonna play some more, I think, with the guys that really didn't play that much. So I don't know. You know, we shooting a basketball is a crazy thing. Some days you make them all, and some days you don't make any. And we've got to find a way to score the ball that we can be consistent scoring the ball, whether the ball's going in the way we want it to or not.
Yeah. Do you think it will go in more often than not the way that you want it to with this collection that you have?
Well, I thought we had two guys that shoot the ball as well as virtually anybody in our league or pretty much any other league in Sean and Taz. But then, you know, they both have had some tough days. And I think the guy who's been the most consistent is JB. JB has been very consistent, and we've got other guys very capable of making shots. We had a freshman go 6-for-7 from three the other day in the inter-squad scrimmage, and so yeah, I think we do. We just don't have Derek Culver on a inside where we can throw the ball in there and at least get him to the free throw line.
What about Taz and Sean on the floor together, that dynamic? Talk to me about it. You didn't see much of it last year, if at all, did you?
No, we didn't see much of it at all. But I think those two guys are as good a wing guys. You know, we've got to surround them with people who can rebound it and block shots and do some things in that regard. But both of them have gotten considerably better at the defensive end, and both of them are highly capable of getting hot and scoring a bunch of points.
Comfortable coaching the way that you're going to have to coach, by that meaning not having the big that you often like to have, by the fact that defensively you've said that there's some stuff that's to be desired, the fact that you're going to have to go out and score more, that's not necessarily you. Are you okay with doing it this way?
Well, I think if you look back, I guess for doing it for 30 years, I've had to do it virtually every which way there is to do it. So yeah, I mean we've had times when we had to outscore people and really didn't guard as well, you know. But we tried to score off our defense a little bit in those situations, meaning we took more chances. You know, we were more up the line than packed in, and yeah, I mean, I feel good about our guys, and we're going to give them the green light. I don't think you can manage shooting guys with, okay, you can miss two or three, but then, you know, we got to go to somebody else. I think you got to let them go, and they've got to be able to. They have enough going on in their head when they miss shots. I think all shooters do. It was, you know, what did I do wrong this time? And I don't want them to have to play like that, and I certainly don't want them to have to play with me micromanaging their jump shot.
Defensively, can this improve over the course of the year? Can you see the growth defensively in season, or is that all kind of manufactured and constructed in the off season?
No, I think we can. I think we can get a lot better. I mean, we did get a guy transfer in who was the leading shot blocker in the country, albeit at a lot lower level than what he's going to have to do it at here. But yeah, I mean, I think we've gotten considerably better just in the time that we've had these guys and started working with them, and we will continue to get better as the season goes along.
You said that the rotations aren't very good. Take that a little further as to how that can improve, and that can improve sooner rather than later.
Well, you can't stand there and think about what am I supposed to do, you know, because by then they've already reversed the ball or throwing the ball inside, and they've already scored, and you're still standing there thinking. It's got to be a reaction, and that comes from it's neuromuscular integration. You know, it's muscle memory. It's doing the same thing day after day after day after day, and and it becomes ingrained in a neuromuscular pattern, and you go from there. But we're quite a ways from having it ingrained at this point in time, because you also got to get rid of bad habits before you can have good habits. So we've got a ways to go.
How much time are you spending on defense?
Well, we probably practice longer than everybody else does. We're not an hour and go home. You know, we stay and as long as we're allowed to stay. But I think again, we've done a lot of different ways. I mean, when you look, we were press Virginia for how long, and then all of a sudden we didn't have Sagabaugh in the back to block shots and JC to be the best on the ball defender in the country. So then you have to find another way to do it. So we as a staff, and the staff's been here since I got back here. So we'll find ways to do it. We'll figure out. And I think the thing is putting people in positions where they can be successful. To take a guy and try to make him something that he's not is not a recipe for success.
What do you like about your team? As we sit here, second, third week of October, what do you like about what you have?
Well, I think first and foremost, they're good guys. They're good guys. I don't have issues off the floor. They're good guys. They take care of their business. They understand that they're here first of all to either finish the education that they started or enhance the education that they had gotten to this point. And so I don't have problems chasing guys to class or chasing them to study hall or any of those kind of things. They do a pretty good job of that themselves. And then, you know, on the floor, they've been good. I mean, I think when you take guys out of the portal, so to speak, you're getting guys that are accustomed to doing things in a different way than what we're doing things. So you don't have to just teach them new things. You've got to really break down the bad habits probably different habits that they established where they were. And so we've been in that process really of, wait a minute, man, that's not how we do things. You have to do it this way, because we all got to be in sync and we all got to react accordingly.
Who do you rely on in the locker room? You mentioned you don't have a ton of veterans returning in the way of minutes, but that doesn't mean that you don't have leadership. And I'm curious as to who you lean on.
I don't think there's any question. Gabe is our leader. Gabe's a guy that they listen to. Gabe's a guy who I think physically can make guys understand when they don't understand. And Taz has been great. You know, I think those two guys, and they've lived together for 3 years. This will be the third year of them living together. So they kind of think the same way, and to have those two guys as our leaders and as our sounding boards, I think has been really good.
Talk about his growth and development, where he came from, obviously a transfer, and now here he is kind of embodying what West Virginia basketball is all about, and he's your guy that you go to.
Quite a story.
Well, I think what it is our style of play is a way more suited to the way he likes to play basketball. I think it's more that than anything. You know, it's hard sometimes to take guys who play in kind of slow down, pass the ball till the end of the clock places, and then bring them into the way we play, which is a heck of a lot faster. And with the way that we play defensively, I think it suits Gabe and Gabe's abilities probably way better than anywhere he's been before.
How has his offensive game, Gabe's, transformed or evolved here?
Well, he actually can make a shot now. I mean, a year ago, as soon as he shot it, everybody yelled rebound. You know, he didn't have much of a chance of making it, but he's put an enormous amount of time in the facility, working on his game. I think, as we saw in the scrimmage that we had, he can bounce it now and finish at the rim. He was a terrible finisher for a lot of reasons, but mainly because you have to look where the ball's going. You can't just throw it up there and hope it goes in. And his concentration level is so much better, and just the fact that his skill level is better, and the idea that he can make a shot now, so they can't stand in the lane and wait for him to come.
Speaking of shot improvement, Isaiah Cottrell, you mentioned that you cannot take any credit for what he's been able to turn himself into offensively. What is going to make him such a productive offensive player, and what is so good about his shot, and what type of offensive player do we have here?
Well, he's got really good mechanics is the reason he shoots it so well. His mechanics are very, very good. And he takes good shots. He's not a guy who forces shots, but, you know, with him, with JB, with Taz, with Sean, I want him to shoot it. I mean, when they get a crack, they need to shoot it. And I think Isaiah and JB have probably been our two most consistent guys. They make a very high percentage of shots that they take. And I think Isaiah eventually will be versatile enough that we can throw him in a post and he can jump hook it with either hand. And he certainly can move a little bit away from the basket where bigs don't like to go and can still make shots. He can make threes. So I think he's going to be a very good weapon for him. We just got to get him to rebound it a little bit better and be a little tougher defensively. But, I mean, from an offensive standpoint, he's got a lot of skill. His skill level is very good.
Final thing for you. Who have we not talked about? Who has kind of caught your eye here over the last couple of months that maybe going into the summer that you said, I didn't have that, but you know what? Now this or that is an option. What player is that?
I don't know if it's one player. I think it's more the depth that we have. We were kind of we had one player at per position a lot of times, and now there's, of course, it's going to when you have 15 guys, but we kind of got them lined up, and so when one guy isn't having a really good day, we have other people that can come in, and with the transfer portal and what we've done with the transfer portal, it's given us depth. Because we can bring guys in, and of course, you know, of course, they all come in thinking that they're going to start, and then they find out the guys here aren't so bad either. So, you know, you got to go through that thing just from a mental standpoint. But we're going to have guys. I mean, our depth is going to be very good. It's going to be about as good as I think we could get it.
Redshirting anybody, or still undecided?
Well, we've got one guy that's banged up a little bit, a freshman, and we'll have to see, because I think he's a guy who could probably play a lot of minutes for us, but I don't know if that's going to be possible just with the injury that he sustained early on, and it was an open gym situation where they were just in here playing.
How many combinations do you think you're rolling out there? Do you have a pretty good idea, or is that still a work in progress?
I think I know where we start. I'm not sure where we finish. I know where we start, and then from there, you know, you know who your backups are at whichever position that we're talking about. But you know, I mean, it's a matter of who continues to play well and who gets better and who gets worse and who stays the same. And those guys that get better, obviously, are going to get more time.
You, after all, do not determine playing time.
I don't. I really don't. They do. I tell them that all the time. You know, what do I got to do to play? Play better. I mean, that's... I got some very short answers for some pretty dumb questions, actually.
Meritocracy, what a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Isn't it so?
Yes, indeed, Coach. Meritocracy is a wonderful thing. And looks like that's going to be the case for the men, and it's going to be the case for the ladies. Mike Carey, much like Hugs, he's got 15 on his roster that he could dress, he could use, he could rotate. Ton of combinations for Coach Carey. Like the men, the ladies, I think, were very successful in the transfer portal, able to add some depth, especially at the post position, which was going to be vital. Now, the big question for the ladies is going to be, and much like for the men, right, you lose a bell cow like a Deuce McBride. How do you backfill that? Who's going to step up? Where does the leadership come from? Well, the ladies are facing that same question with the number 4 overall selection in the WNBA draft, Kaiser Gondrzik going to the Indiana team, and Gondrzik leaving a big hole that's over 20 points per game that you have to backfill for Kaiser Gondrzik. We'll get into all of that with Coach Carey as he begins year number 21 at the helm.
All right, Coach, just if you could, give me your overall thoughts here on the season. You're about to head to Big 12 Media Day and talk with everybody in Kansas City, and I'm curious as to what you'll tell them about the team that you have.
I mean, we're very deep this year, especially in the post. You know, it's just figuring out where we're going to play people. We move Esmeri a little bit to the three plus the four, but only because we moved Kari to the four because we have some five players this year. So we're deep in the post. We just got to get, you know, get in rhythm a little bit. We're just not in sync because we just keep bringing people in and out. So eventually we'll get a rotation that works for us.
Do we have an identity yet at this juncture, or is that still a work in progress? And what do you think it could be if you don't know that answer just yet?
Well, I think we're very athletic this year. We're probably deeper on that. Defensively, we could be really good if we buy in. And our returners buy in, but we got to get the new players to buy in defensively. And then we have to, you know, we don't want to play too fast where we're not taking care of the basketball. So we got to find that happy medium, when to push, when to slow it down, and that type of stuff. Once we learn that, we got a lot of people that can attack the rim, and that's something we hadn't had in a long time.
You have 15 players, so you can obviously run a variety of different combinations. You can go big if you'd like to. Can you go conceivably, and I don't think I've seen you do this perhaps since I've been here, but could you go five out conceivably if you needed to?
Well, you could with Kari at the five, if you bet Kari, but we're really playing her a little bit more at the four. Now, there may be occasions where we want Kari to go at the five. But we have good size. We're strong in the paint. Like I said, when we go Vesmeri at the three, we got good size there. And you got Kari at the four and then a five player in there. So we can go big. We can go small. We can get up and down the floor. Hopefully we can get the players to pound the offensive boards because we have the athletes to pound the offensive boards if we'll do it.
So, and let's talk about that here in a moment because a lot of your rebounding, I think, has come via the transfer portal, if I'm not mistaken there. But first, I want to stick to offensively the production. How do you atone for the loss of production when you graduate a Kaiser Gondrzik? Because that's really a big hole from one particular player.
And not only her scoring, but her knowledge of the game, when to push, when to slow it up. Went and create shots for other people and that type of stuff. So we're not only going to lose her points, we're going to lose, the way she approached the game and got everybody better around her. But what can happen is one player says, I'm going to make up her points because now it's just one-on-one. We're going to make up in points. Some people are going to score. Our post got to score more this year, and then we got coming off the bench, we got to get somebody to score a little bit more. We got to get more scoring off the bench, which I think we can do that this year.
Do we have a go-to score? Give me the scenario. 4.8 seconds left. You have a grease board. You call your final timeout. We're playing a Big 12 game of utmost importance, and you have one final possession there with the clock coming down. Who's that ball going to?
I think we get, KK probably. If it's out on the perimeter and if it's in the paint, probably Kari or Esmeri that I trust going to the last shot inside the paint. And then out on the perimeter would be KK. Madison's very experienced as any point guard out there. And then you got KK. Jayla Hemingway has played extremely well during practice. She's in better shape this year than she was last year and looks really good also. Jazz is another one that's shooting the ball pretty well. And so we have people that can score, but, KK can take it downhill. KK can get in the paint, but she just got to make better decisions once she gets down in the paint.
All right, I'll ask you the same type of question, but essentially from the defensive bent, you need a big rebound, you need a big turnover. Who's out on the floor? Who are you going to in that situation?
Well, I think Maddie, one of the better defensive point guards in the country. I've said that all along. I think KK can really defend. Jayla looks a lot better this year defending. Kari knows exactly what she's doing. Esmeri is another one to get a big rebound and that type of stuff. So I think the veterans there, especially on the defense side, because they understand it a little bit better.
All right, transfer portal, let's talk about that. Do you have a pretty good indication whether or not the transfer portal helps a school or program like West Virginia more, or does it kind of hurt us? Does it make us susceptible? Do you have a pretty good handle on it and what it's going to be?
Well, I mean, we were short in the post, and we was able to bring in a 6'6", 6'3", 6'1".
That's nice.
All of a sudden. And because of the portal, and they're eligible immediately. So that makes it extreme. It depends what side you're on. If you lose a lot, then you're disappointed in the portal. But the portal has changed recruiting. It really has. You have an opportunity now to go to the portal and get somebody that's played at college, and you know how they play in college with experience, and come in and be immediately eligible in a position that you need help in.
It's no different in the women's game versus the men's game, is it? Or really any sport, women's basketball versus football, the portal is the portal, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, nowadays, if you're not playing or you're not happy, you leave. And it's a shame. It used to be, you know, years ago that you got in the gym and you worked hard and you got better and you got your playing time. Now, if you're not playing immediately and you're not happy with if the situation, and then you go ahead and transfer. But what players need to understand is it's not always going to be better at the other school. Eventually you're going to have to work.
How do you balance that as a head coach? Because clearly you don't want existing players to be on their way out, or if something goes wrong, slightest drop of whatever, then they're out the door. How do you balance that in, you know, being who you are as a head coach? You've been doing this a long time, and you've been doing it a certain way, and you've been doing it a certain way successfully. Do you have to be careful in that you don't change what you do to capitulate, perhaps, to a particular player with the ever-changing culture around sports?
Yeah, you know what? You have to have a good relationship with your players, and you need to be loyal to the players, and the players need to be loyal to you. You know, new players coming in here are trying to find their niche, so to speak, and they're not used to me, my style, coach, and all that. So it's just the way it is nowadays, Dan. I'm gonna be honest with you. You got to recruit them year round. Not only you have to recruit new players, you have to continue to recruit your current players. Because if you don't have that relationship and you're not totally always talking to them and all that, they're gonna leave on you.
You know, a good coach, right, tells a player what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. And I wonder if coaching is going to change, because you can continually tell a player, well, what they want to hear, and that may keep them there, but it doesn't grow them, it doesn't develop them. So how do you walk that fine line to staying, again, true to yourself and telling them what they need to hear to still coach them hard?
I think your older coaches are still coaching them. I'll be honest with you. I think they're still coaching. I think your young coaches are telling them what they want to hear. Not all of them, but there's a majority of them telling them what they want to hear. Come over here. You know, I won't get on you. I won't yell at you. I'll play it. And then once they get there, it's not the case. So I just try to be honest with players. Hey, and bring them up, show them on film. This is what I'm talking about. This is why you're not playing. This is why you can see it here. And would you play yourself if you were the coach? Who would you play? I mean, you just got to get them to understand this is why, and explain it to them. Nowadays, players, you got to explain it to them. You just can't say you're not playing. You got to say this is why, and show them on film, and lay it out, and this is what you got to do to play more. And some players can handle that. Some players can't.
And that helps, right? The explanation of things, especially, yeah. I think, with this generation. Well, let's talk about a couple of the players that transferred into the program that wanted to become Mountaineers. Big get here, Yamaya Morris. Will she find herself in the starting lineup? She's the Mississippi State fifth year.
Yeah, I tell you what. You know, she could, but, you know, defensively, you know, she got to pick up our defense and talk more on defense, on the picks and that. Because, let's face it, if I'm on the other team and she's coming out, I'd use her in pick and rolls all the time. I mean, honestly, I'd bring her away from the rim, and that's what teams are going to do. So she's got to get better away from the rim and talking and communicating and all that. And then the other thing, you know, her side, boy, it's nice to throw the ball up. You just throw it up in the air. She has great hands. She finishes left and right-handed. But, you know, she's got to get to the ball more and start blocking shots more than that, because she's a really good jumper. but she's not getting, you know, it's just getting to the ball, and we'll continue to work with her. She'll continue to grow as a player and continue to get better.
Ari Gray, leading scorer for Xavier a year ago. She's really interesting. So let's talk about her and what she brings to the table and what the expectations are for a player like her.
Yeah, big-time athlete. Big-time athlete, can run the floor as well as anybody we have. Quick jumper and that. But once again, you know, is having trouble on defense, having trouble communicating. And it's going to be a process for some of these new players defensively in that. And then, you know, sometimes we get out of control. We go too fast. So those are things. But I tell you what, Ari Gray has a great chance to really contribute to this basketball team. So does Maya. They both have a great chance to contribute immediately.
One of the deeper teams that you've had, and one of the more athletic teams that you've had in quite some time, frankly, right?
Yeah, absolutely, especially in the paint. Usually we're shorthanded in the paint. This year we're not. So that's a good. And, again, you know, are they going to be happy if they're playing time? Are they going to be – I mean, that's just something. Blessing looks a lot better this year. She's under control, looks a lot better. I thought Blessing – got better as the year went on down the stretch. She was averaging double figure rebounds and that. So, you know, we have a lot of options. We have a lot of people we can go to. It just depends who's playing well at the time.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to it, all the different combinations, and well, it gets going here sooner rather than later. Here we are again.
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking forward to it, though. I think we can have a big year. I think we can grow as a team. We have a tough non-conference schedule. We really do. Probably as tough as I've had since I've been here. But that's good. We'll go out and we'll see what we need to work on. We'll see where we need to improve, and we'll be ready for conference play.
So there they are, the head coaches of your West Virginia basketball teams. Respectfully, what do you got? Over 900 wins for Hugs. You've got over 700 wins for Coach Carey. It's a lot of winning inside that WVU Coliseum, and we're hoping that there's going to be a lot of winning, in particular, in 21-22 for both teams. So, it all gets underway with the exhibition games for the ladies next Thursday, for the men next Friday against Akron, and we hope to see you at the Coliseum, or at the very least, see you on the radio. And we'll see you on the radio at 4 o'clock on Saturday for the Go Mard Mountaineer Tailgate Show, and the 7:30 kickoff as the Mountaineers try to get back on track and win their first road game since, well, they did so against the Horned Frogs the day after Thanksgiving 2019, ending Neil Brown's inaugural season on a winning note. The road has not been kind to West Virginia, and we're hoping that WVU will be able to go to 3-0 against Gary Patterson and the Horned Frogs with Neil Brown as the head coach. 4 o'clock airtime, 7:30 kickoff, right here on MSN, the Mountaineers Sports Network.
You've been listening to the Mountaineer Insider here on MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network. Like the podcast? Give us 5 stars or leave a review. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at WVUMSN or find the latest news and information on the Mountaineers at WVUSports.com. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.